Good morning. As we gather for worship, let's join in singing Majesty, number 346 in your hymnal, and it's also printed in the order of worship. Lord be with you. And welcome as we gather together as Murfreesboro Baptist Church to worship God. We're glad that you're here. I know we have folks who have been traveling and pray for a safe journey for them. But we are glad that you're here this morning. Some who are not able to be with us last week are back, and we're thankful for that. But we also want to welcome those who are joining us by our radio broadcast or by our live stream. We're grateful that you're part of our service today and pray that it'll be a blessing to you as we worship God together. Let's join now in our call to worship. It comes from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Father, as we come before You and as we hear this call to worship from the Psalms, we are reminded of how You are indeed our Maker, and You are the one who is Lord over all and our Shepherd as we are the sheep of Your pasture. Father, we thank You for this Thanksgiving season that we have just been through. And as we gather to worship You on this Christ the King Sunday, we pray now that You will help us to be focused on You, on Jesus Christ our Lord, who is our Good Shepherd. And Lord, that You would help us to honor and glorify You in all that we say and do in this time of worship today. As we share in Holy Communion later in our service, we pray that that will be a special blessing, a special time of worship where we experience genuine communion with You and with one another as Your people, as fellow members of the body of Christ. So bless us now, Lord, as we worship You together. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 215, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Number 215.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, the Lord and King adore.
children come for the children's sermon. That's an adult in this room, because it doesn't happen very often. It was a big to-do, right? They had all these really fancy clothes and jewels on them and expensive things and big parades and big services. They wore all these really fancy things. Did Jesus do that?
No.
What's the difference between the King of England and our King, Jesus? Jack? Where was ours born? Ours was born in a manger, that's right. Ours was born in a manger. He didn't wear fancy things. He wasn't born to a fancy palace or a fancy family. He doesn't get fancy parades and have all these servants working after him. He actually does have servants working after him. Who are the servants that work for Jesus? Us. We're Jesus' servants, because Jesus came to teach us how to treat other people, right? So he was a different kind of king. What kind of crown did Jesus wear? Crown of thorns, that's right. He didn't wear a big fancy crown that they keep in the Tower of London so nobody would get it. So we want to remember our king may be different, but our king is very, very special to us, right? Yeah. And we should worship him as our king. Let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending us our king, your son Jesus. Let us make his kingdom grow. In your son's name, amen.
Our Old Testament lesson comes from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 24, and it will also be the text for the sermon today. Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture? When you drink of clear water, must you foul the rest with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have fouled with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we come now to our prayer time, there are a number of folks that we want to remember today. Gerald Taylor has been sick for a couple of weeks and actually had to go to the hospital in Franklin this morning, but he came back home, but please remember him in your prayers. Also, Bob Smart is in the hospital at Obese. That's Alicia Revel's uncle. And then we also want to continue to pray for Faye Phipps Jenkins in Milwaukee, North Carolina. Also, Chris Broadhead had to go to the hospital briefly on Wednesday evening. He had fallen at home, and everything checked out okay, and so he was able to come back home. We also want to remember the situation in Israel and Gaza during the ceasefire as prisoners and hostages are being exchanged. And there are many other situations that we want to remember as well. So let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for all your blessings. We're grateful, Lord, for what you've done for us in Christ, for how you worked down through the ages. Lord, we thank you that when we as human beings, whom you created in your own image to be in fellowship with you, that when we rebelled against you as our King, that you sought to bring us back. That from before time began, you had already purposed in your heart a plan of redemption that you prepared the way for, that you worked out down through the ages. And Lord, we thank you that the pinnacle of that plan was to send your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to come, to take on human flesh, to become one of us while still fully God, and to live among us in a way that showed us what it means to be in a right relationship with you, and who taught us what it means, and who showed us what it means, and who was obedient to you, Father, even to the point of death on the cross, and that through that death he brought our redemption, and that you raised him from the dead, victorious over sin and death and the grave and Satan. And Lord, that through him you have brought us your salvation. How grateful we are, O Lord, for all that you've done in him and for all that you're doing through your Spirit present among us. And Lord, for all that you will do in Christ when he returns in glory to raise the dead and judge the world in righteousness and set all things right in the new creation. We're so grateful, Father. Lord, we're grateful for all of the temporal blessings that you pour out on us as well. As we've been through this season of Thanksgiving, Father, we pray that you will help us to remember that whatever our situations are in the present, that you're with us and that you will never forsake us, that you will always help us with whatever our needs are. And Lord, that as we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, you will provide what we need to be faithful to you. Father, we come not only thanking you and praising you, but also, as your word tells us, to offer our petitions and our intercessions. And so, Lord, we come praying for those who are sick. We have mentioned several by name this morning, Lord, and you know about each one. And we pray your help for them, that you will bring healing and restoration of health where that can be your will. Lord, for those dealing with chronic situations, that you would give them grace and strength and endurance in the midst of their suffering. And Father, that as people see their trust in you and see how you are working in their lives, that it will impact them for your kingdom. And Lord, we pray for other needs as well, for those who are facing different kinds of trials, whether they be financial or relational or other trials, Lord. We ask that you would be with them and minister to them. Father,
When we look around the world, we see so much conflict going on in Israel and Gaza and Ukraine and Russia, in places in Africa, in other areas, Lord, and we ask your help and your intervention. And Father, we pray for your people in the midst of those situations, and indeed, Lord, throughout other parts of the world where they are persecuted, where they may be persecuted because of their faith in you. We pray for our missionaries wherever they're serving and ask your help for them. Lord, you're so good to us. You bless us in so many ways, and we are grateful. Most of all, Father, we are grateful for who you are. We're grateful for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for your Spirit present among us. And Lord, we pray these things now and offer our thanksgivings and praises and petitions in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, your only Son, who reigns together with you and the Holy Spirit as one God forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 65, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. High King of Heaven, Lord of our hearts, accept these gifts now, O Lord, we pray, from your subjects, your servants, as humble expressions of our gratitude and our love for you and our desire to be a part of the work of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. And then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' And then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' And then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' And then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' And then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The word of the Lord. Praise his holy name.
He is
Let's pray together. Lord, as we come now to look into your word, we pray for your guidance and your direction in our thoughts. We pray that you would give us open minds, open ears, open eyes, open hearts to see and hear and receive and obey what you would speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in the summer of 2005, the Associated Press reported on an incident that happened near the town of Gevis in Turkey. It seems that 26 families had brought all their sheep together to graze. So it was a very, very large collection of different flocks. And something unusual happened, something that was a bit unexpected. For some reason, one of those sheep wandered over to the edge of a cliff and then decided to jump off. And it was killed. But it didn't stop there. After that one jumped, another one came and jumped. And then another. And then another. Until finally, there were 450 dead sheep at the bottom of that cliff. And there were actually more that jumped, but those, the pile of woolly sheep had gotten bigger and bigger, and the last ones that jumped, that their fall was cushioned by the pile, and they didn't die. But it was a devastating, devastating financial blow for those folks. Why did it happen? How in the world could that have happened? Well, it was all a matter of neglect. Because you see, there were shepherds who were supposed to be caring for those sheep. But they had decided to leave them grazing alone while they went to get some breakfast. And then that's what happened. That's what happened. In the ancient world, the image of a shepherd was often used to describe a king. After all, a good king would, like a good shepherd, guide his people and care and provide for them. Despite all of his personal failings, King David was the model shepherd king. Before he became king, of course, he had been an actual shepherd of sheep. And the skills that he had learned in keeping sheep served him well as he led the people. But what happens when shepherds aren't faithful? When leaders lead badly, when they don't care for those that they lead, the sheep go astray and they suffer, like those sheep in Turkey. That's what had happened in Israel and Judah. The books of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles relate the history of the monarchy of Israel, first as a united nation under Kings David and Solomon, his son, and then as two separate nations, yet still one people. Now, a few of the kings are okay. Even fewer of them are good. None are really good. A couple of them almost make it, but not quite. But most of them are mediocre to bad to very bad. They failed to follow the Lord and to care for His people. They often led the people astray after pagan gods around them. And particularly in 1 and 2 Chronicles, the standard that each king is measured by is, guess who? King David. King David. Well, most of Israel's and Judah's kings were unfaithful. And since they were, and they were irresponsible and uncaring shepherds, and they did not do their duty, because of that, the sheep were scattered and had become defenseless prey. And by the time Ezekiel wrote, the northern kingdom of Israel was no more. And the southern kingdom was in exile. The leading citizens of Judah were in exile in Babylon. So, what would God do about this situation? Well, when you think about it, there were a number of options that were open to him. First, he could simply do nothing. After all, when you think about it, he had redeemed these people out of slavery in Egypt, and then he had led them through the wilderness, And he had brought them into the land that he had promised to Abraham and his descendants. But all this had been an exercise in frustration, because the people would be faithful for a little while, and then they would stray away. And then God would bring them back, and they would stray away again. And that happened over and over and over and over and over throughout the Old Testament. But even when God was doing all those first things, they were a bunch of complainers. I mean, you couldn't satisfy them with anything. They complained in Egypt. That's understandable. They complained in the wilderness, even though they had just been brought out of Egypt. They refused to go into the land when the Lord was going to bring them in the land to begin with. So then they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, still griping and complaining. I mean, think about how God cared for them in the wilderness, but they constantly were murmuring and complaining about things. They were kind of like the person that if you give them $100 and you give them a $100 bill, they complain because you didn't give them 520s. You ever known anybody like that? Well, that's sort of how they were. God blessed them with all these blessings, and he cared for them so wonderfully, and yet they were constantly complaining. And after they finally made it into the promised land, their corporate life as a nation was that endless cycle of turning away from God and then going through God's judgment to turn them back, and then they would repent and return and God would deliver them. But it happened over and over and over. Obedience to the covenant, especially the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me," was usually only temporary at best. And when you consider all this, you wonder if this might not be the best option. Along the way, God had considered it a few times. You remember he told Moses when the people were complaining against him in the wilderness and disobedient to him, he told Moses, said, "Just stand back, I'm going to wipe them out and start over with you." And Moses reminded God of his character, and because of his character, he would never do it. Well, another option would have been to set up another earthly king to guide his people. The problem with that was that this had never really worked before. The kings had proven that God could not entrust the care of his people to them completely. The only time there had been any real success with this was with David. And as I said, because he'd been a shepherd of sheep, he understood what it meant to shepherd God's people. But when you look at David's life, he still messed up royally more than once, didn't he? The Old Testament actually reflects that God was reluctant from the very beginning to set up an earthly king in Israel, and he did that only as a concession to the people's request and desire for a king that they could see. To that point, the Lord had been their king, ruling through judges and priests and prophets, and in their desire to have that earthly king that they could see, God reluctantly set up and appointed Saul as king. And Saul's own weakness created a debacle, so he raised up David in place of Saul as king. And David's reign, despite its crises, went well overall, but then after that, it was pretty much downhill the rest of the way. So much for this option. It would just pretty much be more of the same. So, what could God do? What could God do? What if he decided to be their shepherd himself? What if he chose to shepherd his sheep? What if he rescued them from evil shepherds and went searching for those who were scattered and gathered home those who were lost? What if he fed them, led them to good pastures, and made them lie down in safety? What if he cared for the injured and the weak and the sick? What if he judged between his sheep when one tried to take advantage of the others? That was it. That's what he would do. That's what we see here in Ezekiel 34. God says, "I will shepherd my sheep." Ultimately, He would be their shepherd, but he would set up his servant David, actually a descendant of David, who would be of the same character, to be one shepherd over them, over all his scattered people. And he's done that, you know. He's done that. That's why Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of David, could stand that day in Jerusalem and say in John 10, verses 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. What a powerful and beautiful image. A shepherd caring for his sheep. He doesn't drive them like a rancher drives cattle. He leads them. He knows them. He has his own names for them that he calls them. And they know his voice. And they come out of a whole mass of different flocks like that one in Turkey when he calls them. They love him and they trust him and they follow him. Now, true, sheep aren't always the brightest animals in the world. I mean, why does one just wander to the edge of a cliff and jump off and then others follow him? They're not the brightest in the world. They don't smell the best. But he still loves them. He still cares for them. He protects them and he guides them to green pastures and still waters. No wonder the Bible uses this picture over and over to describe God's care for us. The Lord himself is our shepherd. That's how he relates to us. That's what Jesus was talking about in John 10 when he described himself as the good shepherd who gives his sheep abundant life. And he laid down his own life and took it up again to do it. In her book, All Is Calm, All Is Bright, Cheryl Kirking shares a story of a young mother named Brenda. Christmas was coming, but instead of joy, she was feeling nothing but stress and despair and despondency. As so often happens, her husband's job was shaky, and if he lost it, they wouldn't have any income. And that grim probability amid all the usual holiday stress was depressing her. But Brenda told about how God spoke to her in this situation, and here's what she said. Among my numerous responsibilities was teaching my 3-year-old's Sunday school class at church. When I looked at the teacher's book, I saw that the lesson was on Jesus, the Good Shepherd. What? The Good Shepherd, I complained. Surely something's wrong here. How does a good shepherd relate to the real meaning of Christmas? Besides, city kids can't relate to a shepherd. And my low spirit was evident as I criticized everything about this lesson. And then the time came for the class. We survived the art portion of the lesson, gluing cotton balls to sheep pictures and had our juice and animal crackers. And then it was circle time. And turning to each rosy-cheeked cherub, I began with, "What is a good shepherd?" To which came my reminder of truth, as one taught positively replied, "He picks up his sheep when they fall down." Wow. Out of the mouths of babes, right? He picks up his sheep when we fall down. And he gives us eternal life. The life of the eternal realm that we begin to experience here and now. And when we leave this life, we will experience it in its fullness. He shepherds us through death's dark valley. And then he guides us even throughout all eternity. As according to Revelation 7:17, the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Even through eternity, the Lord will shepherd his sheep. And here is the amazing thing. Our shepherd, thanks be to God, is our King. The King of kings and Lord of lords, who shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. It's always a special and meaningful time when we come to share in the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, where we remember what Christ has done for us, how the Good Shepherd indeed laid down his life for us. But when we share in this meal, we also remember and celebrate that he rose from the dead, that he is with us at this table, that he is the host who invites those who have put their trust in him and followed him to partake. And so this morning, on this Christ the King Sunday, we come to remember our King, the one whose crown was a crown of thorns, but the one who will at the last day return in glory and power. And so come and share in this simple meal. I invite you to join me in a moment of quiet reflection and meditation about what Christ has done for us and all that he is to us. And so now, Lord, as we come to this table, we come in gratitude for all that you have done in Jesus Christ our Lord. We come in gratitude for your great eternal plan of redemption. We come in gratitude, Lord, that you are our King, Lord Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. And we come joining in the worship of heaven, where the living creatures around the throne cry out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." We thank you for your great love that you've shown us in Christ, and we give you praise and honor and glory. So, Lord, as we come to this table now to partake of this bread and cup in remembrance of Christ, remind us, Lord, that it's not just remembering history. It's not just remembering an event, but it's entering into that and reliving what you've done for us and experiencing it anew and afresh as we share in Holy Communion with the living Christ. Bless us now, Father, in this time of communion. And hear us now as we offer our prayers in the words of that prayer that he taught us, praying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." That night, Jesus took the bread, and he gave thanks. And so, Lord, for this bread, which is to us a sign of the body of Christ that he gave on the cross, we give you thanks. Lord, we thank you that he took on our humanity, became one of us, so that we might be one with you. Bless us now as we partake, in Jesus' name. Amen. And he broke the bread, and then he gave it to his disciples. Said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Later in the meal, he took the cup and gave thanks. Good Shepherd, in your suffering, in your death on the cross, you poured out your blood and gave your life for us. Lord, may we pour out ourselves for you in gratitude and in service. In Jesus' name, amen. And he told them, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Told them, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us in Christ. Amen. Afterwards, they sang a hymn before they went out. We invite you to join us in singing number 658, Let Your Heart Be Broken. This is also our hymn of response. If God is speaking to you about some commitment that you need to make or renew, or about following Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come and share that commitment.